There is, God can call you to do a lot of things, and he calls people to be in ministry, he calls people to be in education or in the business world, but it's a great thing if God would call somebody here to be a missionary. It's a wonderful thing. But either way, he's calling us to have a part in it, either through our financial support and our prayers, or maybe he's calling somebody here to go to the mission field. But that's what this weekend is all about. Thank you so much for being here. Brother, Mrs. Harmon, please come and just spend 5 or 6 minutes or so and give us an update.
Hi, I'm Debbie Harmon, and I'm very young for my age. You wouldn't know I was as old as he keeps saying I am. You know, whenever I was 8, I accepted the Lord. And when I was 11, I surrendered to go to the mission field. And so as you grow up believing this is what God has for your life, most people assume you must be such a godly, just a faith-filled person. Well, not here. My husband took a pastorate, and it took 5 really hard years of working with this church before it began to really grow, and we could see light at the end of the tunnel. We could see their faith growing by leaps and bounds, and I was getting very comfortable. I was getting very comfortable. And when Max went to Peru to pass out Bibles, and he came home and he said, you know, I think God's calling us to Peru. Now, Peru at that time was having a terrible time with Sendero Luminoso, which is the Shining Path, a Maoist terrorist group. They were trying to take over the government. It was chaotic. And I looked at him and I said, he never told me any such thing, you know. And he says, no, Dem, I'm really serious. I said, so am I. I'll support you $40 a month. You go ahead, fella. And so it took some prayer and some time with the Lord to finally say, I'll do what you want me to do. And your life is never as you expect it's going to be. It's never as smooth as you hope it's going to be. So there have been bumps along the way. Even as Max was saying, at one time when my mom was very ill and there was no one else to take care of her, we came home. And then his mom also was ill. And in that time, they both passed away, went home to glory, and God allowed us to go back to Peru to continue our work there. And I was getting very comfortable again. And, you know, the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. He does things a little differently. And whenever I came to the States in March, I came for 28 days. I had absolutely no plans to be here in summer or winter. And God pushed the pause button on our DVD life. And he said, no, I've got something else for you. And being the godly person I am, I said, what do you think you're doing? I am ready to go home. I mean to tell you, I was stomping around there and I was saying, I do not even have clothes for the seasons that are coming up. I need to get back home, you know, and it was very difficult to surrender to what his will was for this time season of my life. And it took us until about July when we realized, you know what, they're not going to open up those borders anytime soon. We may as well just get used to it. We're going to be here for a while. And so God opened up doors for us to visit some of the churches we haven't been in a long time. I still have ladies' meetings on Saturday, and yesterday was a ladies' meeting, but it was church time here. And so I just told the ladies, I said, you just have a wonderful Zoom meeting, and the Lord bless you, because even now they're not able to meet together. And the verse in Galatians that says, don't be weary in well-doing. Keep doing what you're doing, even though it makes you very tired and you're very tired of the way things are going and they're not normal. He says that we're going to reap. And so the ladies, I told them yesterday, as I texted them, I said, you know, we thought the president got on the TV and he said, we are opening up the churches. You can meet 30%. So all of a sudden we started thinking, okay, we can meet at 8:30 and have this many people. And then we can meet at, you know, 45 minutes later, the sermon be finished, and then 15 minutes open, and then have another one. And we had it all planned out. And then the next day when the official decree is written out, it was 30% could be at the baptisms, funerals, or marriages. And that was enough. You know, everybody, their heart just kind of took a dive. It was just, and I kept thinking, don't be weary in well doing. Just hang in there. And so one day we're going to get to go back to Peru. And in his time, it will be. And I want to thank you very much for your faithful support. You know, a lot of people, if they don't understand missions, they think giving their money is the most important thing. Well, that gets us to the field. And that helps us to live in our house and eat our food and buy gas for the car and Bibles for the church. But it's your prayers that keep us there.
It's true.
Because believe me, there are times that happen in a missionary life when you just want to get on the plane and just come back. But you've been praying, and because you were praying, I won't be weary in well-doing. So thank you.
Very good. Very good. We've been missionaries for 38 years, as the preacher mentioned. And we... been trying to be faithful. Appreciate your faithfulness. We really do. We have a prayer card. It's not really a prayer card. People call it a prayer spot. I call it a PS, prayer spot. It's just a little old thing, okay? But it's got the website on there. You can get all the information you need on the back. But on the front, it shows what our website looks like, kind of the logo. Then it shows the logo of Project Peru, that God has blessed there in Peru. And we've helped 100 churches and building projects and things. And who knows how many souls have been saved because of that. It's exciting what God is doing in Peru. It's all Peruvian-based in the banks and everything, and it's just amazing. And then the bottom logo is the local church that they're having all kinds of online things during the week and services and all that since March 15th. Well, March 18th, I guess he said officially last night as I was reading some things. But you keep praying for the church and Pastor Cinti there. His wife is battling cancer. So you need to pray for her, if you would, please, and keep praying for us. Our plans are to go back in January, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, okay? So we'll see what happens, but that's our plan. We declared a COVID furlough, not because we wanted to, because we were here and ended up here and can't get back. They still haven't opened up the airport to international flights. I think maybe just this last week they're starting to let in a few from other countries. But you pray that we'll be able to get back and get back into things there. We're kind of missing home, and we're ready to do that. So right now we're in Maryland, staying in my son's house while he's deployed in Iraq. Pray for him if you would, Kate, as well. But God's given us a good week here with you, and we appreciate you guys' faithfulness. And we're looking forward to presenting the Word of God to you here in just a little bit, and trust it'll be a blessing to each one.
All right. How many churches, Brother Harmon?
We've worked in about 20 different churches, but 7 of those we've helped organize as new churches.
All right. Okay. So that's our missions investments over the years impacted 20 churches. And then yesterday you spoke about very quickly about the revolving fund.
Yes.
And several years ago was that through Christian businessmen or through
a... It was a Christian businessman from one of supporting church, yes.
So Christian businessman put up, I might get the statistics wrong, but about $240,000.
Well, he put up 50 to begin with, and then another 50, and another 50. And
you kept getting more from
him. We got 230 in the end.
So $230,000.
Yes.
We talk a lot about living sacrificially, but I do believe that God is calling some Christian people to sacrificially build wealth for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And there is a Christian businessman who puts up $230,000 as an investment fund. And so Peruvian churches are borrowing money from that fund because they can't get loans through traditional banks.
That's true.
They're building buildings, building churches, and then they're paying that money back.
Interest-free.
Interest-free. That's important.
Yep.
Interest-free. And did you say over $1 million has been paid back, has cycled through that fund?
Yes.
That's amazing. I mean, there's just all kinds of unique things that are happening for the glory of God. You're going to see something really neat right now. Our friends, the Enochs, again, partnered with them probably close to 30 years, if not more. They've been in the Congo. They've been in, I think, Zaire. The country's changed names on them, and now they're in the South Sudan. They brought their children to the mission field. They grew up there. When their children left, they went into some. When their children grew up, they, as a couple, instead of retiring, they went back and they lived out of I'm just telling these stories really quick, but you know what I'm talking about? We're talking about large metal shipping containers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? They built a compound in Sudan of three or four shipping containers.
Yeah.
And they lived in the shipping containers. They lived in a shipping container. They had church in a shipping container. Just unbelievable. And when you see them, you see just a sweet, godly couple. And four years ago, Ronnie Nick was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. He's been struggling with it. This video that you're about to see is him a year ago. And after we watch this video, I'm going to ask my dad to come up. We're going to have prayer for them and just update us on the letter that we had received. But please watch this, and we need to be praying for the Enochs.
We are Ron and Christine Enoch, and we are missionaries with Baptist Bible Fellowship International. We've been missionaries since 1985, and currently we are working in the newest country in the world, South Sudan. 2 years ago, we had a dedication service, and we had over 500 people from the community and some government officials. We had told the community that we would put in a borehole for the community's use. We told the community that we would put in a school and start Christian education through the public school system.
We had promised that we would try to build a school, and by God's grace, we've been able to not only break ground, but put up the building. We've been able to furnish the building, even the desks and the chairs, everything we need for having students. And we're so excited to be able to report to you that right now school is going on in Juba, South Sudan. We're so happy to tell you that three of our teachers have also received Jesus Christ since we opened the school.
We had the opportunity of taking people to the Nile River and baptizing them. This last year, we have a total of 36 people that we baptized.
It was an extra blessing to see Maury, Ron's assistant pastor there in Juba, helping him baptize this last baptism. They were both out there in the river baptizing people, and Maury was baptizing some of the people that he had personally won to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing to see that.
He has proven himself in many ways to be called of the Lord and trying to serve him in his training as a pastor.
On any given Sunday, we have between 180 and 240 children in our Sunday school program. Our biggest problem is we don't have enough teachers. Right now, we have several adults who are training to teach Sunday school kids. Sada Williams is a missionary who's come from Kenya. She was raised in a Sunday school of one of the Kenyan missionaries from the time she was a little girl. And God called her to come to South Sudan. And she's now there training Sunday school teachers and teaching children.
One of the functions that we are using as a outlet to reach the gospel is having youth activities on Fridays. There are many youth that come to that service, and we play games, Bible lessons, and just have a good time with the youth of the community.
We've seen several of those youth come to know Christ as their personal Savior. They've been baptized, and now they're serving in the church. All of the cement blocks that you see being used in the school building were made mostly by the youth in our church. And we paid them to make those blocks so that they could pay their school fees. And that's a program we intend to continue. We want to find every way we can to help these kids get their education while keeping them in the church and involved in all of our activities at the church. We decided to take a unique approach to funding our school. Instead of asking people to sponsor students, we ask people to sponsor teachers. And we believe that that will be the best way to keep the school up and running. The economy is very poor in South Sudan, so people find it very difficult to live. So we decided if we could get a salary for the teachers based on the dollar, and they could have enough money to take care of their families and to live comfortably enough, that they would stay faithful and work hard at school. And we're finding that that is going to be true. The schools in South Sudan are required to teach Christian religious education. And we have the opportunity and the privilege to choose the teacher who will teach the Christian religious education. So we have an opportunity through this school to have a major impact on the thinking and the beliefs that these students have about the Word of God.
God has allowed us to use access through the government to get another piece of land. And this land has just been given to us. We don't even have to purchase it. So our main problem in that area is we don't have helpers. We don't have workers. We don't have other missionaries to help us to develop that land in the way that we've been able to develop the land that we originally got. So we would be asking you to pray with us that God continues to use us through whatever door is possible, that we can reach as many people as possible.
One of the most encouraging things we can say in this video is that God has opened the doors for a young couple, Levi and Chelsea Wilson, who are interested, have given their hearts and their lives to come to South Sudan. God is opening up those doors even now to allow them to come and do an internship with us in South Sudan, possibly next year. We're really excited about them. They're young, they're enthusiastic, and we know that God is going to use them. We need you to pray with us. 2 years ago, Ron was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and it has greatly impacted his ability to serve on the mission field. But God has been good to us, and he's given us a doctor in Kenya, and he's been able to help us to continue on the work that God has given us. Ron doesn't feel like God has told us to come home yet. So day by day, we keep trusting him for the strength that we need to go forward. But we are asking you to pray that God will bless us with his healing and with his grace for as many days as he asks us to stay in South Sudan. We really do need your prayers.
We want to say thank you to you who have been supporting us and praying for us these last 35 years. It's a blessing and it's an encouragement, and we pray that you will continue to help us through praying and through giving that we can reach the people of South Sudan.
Thank you so much. We're so glad that you've been a part of our ministry. We wish every one of you could see what God has been doing through your prayers, through your giving, through your encouragement. It's because of you we've been able to be there. It's because of you that God has been able to do what he's done. And we know he's going to continue the work that he started. So keep praying, keep being faithful to what God has called us to do in South Sudan and what God has called you to do in South Sudan.
Amen. So if you've been involved in Faith Promise missions, that's where your money's being spent. Families like the Enoch family in South Sudan, which is one of the poorest countries in the world. The poverty there is just unbelievable. Or in Peru, where the Harmons these last 38 years have been used of the Lord to establish, I believe it was 7 churches. And then I think off of those churches, other churches that have been started. So 38 years, 7 churches. So that's about every 5 years they established a church. And I think the largest church runs about 600.
Did start that
church. Wow, that's incredible.
It's an honor and privilege to get to be with you this week and try to challenge you in your missions conference, your step of faith. I trust that it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing to see a lot of you today that weren't able to come out for different reasons. But I heard that some coming in even were watching the thing on online. So that's encouraging. That really is. Encouraging you that are praying for us online today, just to hang in there with us, okay? God's blessing in a lot of ways. And we're in a time, kind of a different kind time for our nation, our world, really. This pandemic thing going on, there's a lot of fears going around. And I'm here to proclaim to you today that Christ says, fear not, all right? Fear not. And we need to realize that our faith needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ and not living in constant fear. A lot of things going on, but realize that God's in control of this thing. You think about this Halloween season that we're coming upon. You know, all of these horror movies and people trying to strike fear in people. It's not working this year. You know, there's been stuff, people have been wearing masks all year. You don't have to wear them here. You know, you think about it, it's just not, things have changed this year. They really have. But you know, you think about it, this world, if we're not careful, it put fear into us. And we'll be fearful to take steps of faith. We'll be fearful to trust him. And I trust that you will have victory over those fears today. You think about it, we're going to get to Isaiah, if you want to open your Bibles there in just a second. Isaiah chapter 43 is where we're going to go. But But before I read that scripture in Isaiah 43, it says in Genesis 15, show you how the Bible starts out in Genesis in the Bible. It says in chapter 15, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield." He starts out, "Don't fear, you who serve the Lord. Don't fear. God's in control of this thing." And then we go over to the New Testament, and Christ is saying, talking to the disciples, and he saith unto them, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he rose and he rebuked the winds and he showed him his power. And that's what God wants to do in your life and my life today. He wants us to not fear, to trust him, realize that he's in control. He wants us to take those steps of faith. And that's where we want to go today. So I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 43. Stand to your feet, those of you who can. If you can't, that's okay. You can be seated. But in reference to the reading of God's Word for just a few minutes here, we're going to read the first three verses of Isaiah chapter 43. If you want to read context and have a little homework later, you can read all the way down to verse 15. We'll refer to some places as we go. But right now, let's just read Isaiah 43, verse 1. "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this good group that have come to hear your word and be challenged. I pray, dear God, you'd speak to each and every heart. Help me to get out of the way, that the Holy Spirit would have truly total control of this service. The words that have said, Lord, help me to say and do the things that bring honor and glory to your name. The Holy Spirit could speak to hearts. Lord, you'd have your will in each life. Someone here is not sure they're going to heaven when they die, that Lord, today they trust you as Savior. Others would take other steps of faith in their life that would draw them closer to you and bring glory to your name. Pray, dear God, that you'd help us to conquer those fears that would help, that would stop us from taking those steps of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Isaiah chapter 43. Great chapter. Really is. He says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." Isn't that a promise you can really, really grab hold of and think about? You think about what he's telling us here. It's just amazing all of the things that we can see wrapped up in this short passage of Scripture. But he says in verse 3, "For I am the Lord thy God." And then he says, "Thy ransom." He gave his son for your ransom and my ransom. He's the one that loves us. If you go down and read, we didn't read it on farther down, but verse 5 says, "Fear not, for I am with thee." Verse 7 says, "For I have created him for my glory." That's why you and I are here, to bring glory to God. That's why faith is so important. It brings glory to God. Verse 9 says, "Let the people be assembled." And that's what we've done this morning, right? We're assembled here today. Verse 11 says, "Besides me, there is no Savior." And that's what we're here to declare to you. That's what we do as your missionaries to Peru and the ones to South Sudan, the Enix, and all the other 40 that you support. We need to realize that we declare the gospel message that people can be saved. Verse 12. We declare, verse 14, the Redeemer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to do today to get you to realize, folks, that we have a lot of reason not to fear. We really do. You've got the basis, and it's called faith. I remember years ago when we got to Peru, terrorism was bad, like Deb said, but then it got worse, and it kind of grew. And I was trying to get our missions office involved in trying to teach people on terrorism, and it was falling on a deaf ear. But it was real in Peru. It wasn't worldwide like it is now. And so I went in my own initiative, I guess you would say, and went to a conference on how to prepare against terrorism. And in this conference thing I went to, it wasn't a religious thing. It was just a practical thing. And I went to that, I think it was down in Alabama somewhere. And I was with corporate execs. Some of them had spent $10 million on security. I was out of my league, big time, you know. But I learned some things. By the way, missionaries don't have $10 million to put on security. You know what we have to do? We have to trust in the Lord. And he has to take care of us. And he does that. But you know, you learn some things. You learn some things. I don't think we ought to be unsafe. That's why I have the mask. That's why before we came, we took a COVID test. We are COVID-free, by the way. If we get it, it's your fault. No. No, but we're doing fine. God's going to take care of us. He really is. We need to be safe about things. We need to be wise. I don't do crazy things. And that's what I learned in that conference on terrorism. That if you don't have the money to buy all the cameras and the security system, do all that, at least you got to make it look like you're secure. So what did I do? I put wire up around our compound. There were three houses behind the wall. And you know, it looked like this security stuff. And I hung a couple of signs on there. And it was hooked up to absolutely nothing, you know. It just looked like it was secure. And they said that when you go out, you always go to your car and you reach up under the fender and you stand there and you do something and you walk around. And they'll think you've got a security system on your car because they watch you. So I do that every day. I go out and I make it. People thought I was a secure thing in the world, I think, you know, if they had me under surveillance. And where was my security? It's in the Lord. And folks, that's what we need to realize. The Lord's in control of this thing. He's going to take care of us and realize that we shouldn't live in constant fear. Sendero Luminoso was very real. And I learned that I don't have to be fearful. I wasn't then, and I'm not now, and neither should you be. But Satan wants us to be fearful. He really does. Terrorism was real, and we started traveling to a place called Gorgor. When I got there, terrorism was already going, and that's the only way I knew Peru. So I was going to do what God called me to do, go to the mountains. And we went to a place called Gorgor, and a number of trips, and preached, and saw souls saved, and baptized folks in the river. That's cold, I guarantee you. I remember baptized, I think it was 13 or 14, I can't remember exactly now, and I couldn't feel my legs in the water. I mean, that cold out in water, you had to dig a hole out to make it so you could get them down low enough and get them covered up, get them buried, and get the symbolism and all that. And after 13 or 14, you don't have any feeling from your knees down. You know, there's nothing there. And I said, anybody else want to be baptized? Because some of them didn't show that we're supposed to. And I said, okay, all right. So I got out and I got all dried off, got my feeling back in my feet. And this little 14-year-old boy comes running up and says, Preacher, I'm late. I'm sorry. I need to get baptized. I said, no, you don't. You're not even saved. I tried talking him out of his salvation, man. That's how spiritual we are. But finally, he convinced me I had to get back in, had to baptize that guy. Can you believe it? Folks, that's what happens. We need to realize there are people that need to hear the gospel message that want to obey the Lord. And your sacrifice of giving to missions and praying, we can reach some of them. I was going to that place called Gorgor, and I was pastoring a church in Pro and taking it, kind of helping them over a hard spot like we did many churches there. Worked with them for about 4 years, I guess, and had a co-pastor. But we made a lot of missions trips. I'm a missionary. That's what I do. And we made a lot of missions trips, and the co-pastor was doing a lot of things. He was associate at the beginning and then became co-pastor. But one of the guys in the church wanted to go on a missions trip. I took a number of them, and one of the guys was kind of like an FBI guy, all right? And with the military, with the police there in Peru. And he's just about to retire. And he said, I want to go on a mission trip. I said, okay, we're going to Gorgor. Now, he's a cop. In those days, it was rough. Because policemen directing traffic had become target practice for terrorists. They'd walk and just shoot them just for the target practice. It was rough time. So his life as a policeman was kind of dangerous. And he called me up and he asked me this real theological question. Something I never got in Bible college. He said, Preacher, I have a question for you. Missionary, I said, what's that? He said, when we go on this missions trip, do I take my gun? I said, I really don't know. Should you? I tell you what you do. You pray about it and you do what God leads you to do. And I'll never forget as we pulled up to his house to pick him up. We had other guys in the car. I think he was the last one. And he came out and he said, Preacher, I prayed about it. And he raised his Bible up in the air and he said, I'm going armed with the Word of God. And he left his gun at home. Now, folks, that was a step of faith for him. God might want you to take that step of faith, but there's some kind of step of faith God wants you to take. And that's what this Faith Promise Conference is all about. We didn't take it. We took him with his Bible without his gun. God spoke to his heart. He made some more promises and ended up helping buy benches and different things there in Gorgor. It's amazing all the things that happened. But God really, really blessed because he took that step of faith. You know, God wants you and I to do the same thing. He wants us to have a growing faith like we talked about last night. And he'll test that faith. Remember when I stepped out as a pastor, took the pastorate in Illinois, they didn't have a missions program. Weren't given to missionaries. And we started a faith promise program. And there for a year, I was the only one given to it. And so when we had that conference, Max and Debbie paid for the missions conference, all right, with our missions giving. It had the Secretary of the Treasurer all upset. What are we going to do with all this money? Don't worry about it. We brought in a couple missionaries, and they started Faith Promise. And you know, since we've been missionaries, that church hasn't missed a lick. They've supported us the whole time. Folks, that's what Faith Promise is all about, taking our faith and getting close to God. And that's what we want to realize here. Not only does it say, fear not, in Isaiah chapter 43, but in 44 it says, fear not, verse 2. In verse 8 it says, fear not, neither be afraid, Isaiah 44, verse 8. In Isaiah 41 he says, fear not, for I am with thee, be not dismayed. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13, he says, fear not, I will help thee. In verse 14 he says, fear not, thy worm, I'm thy redeemer. Folks, you need to realize, God's trying to convince us of something, don't you think? We ought not fear. Why does he have to keep saying that? Because we're a fearful people. That's why. Because we're afraid to trust him. And afraid to take those steps of faith. God wants us to do that. And he promises us in Psalm 34, he says, and he delivered me from all my fears. That's what God wants to do. But in order to do that, we're going to have to take a step of faith. We're going to have to trust him just a little bit more than we have in the past. Verse 1, Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 1, Isaiah 43, verse 1. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Why should we not fear? Because we've been redeemed. We've been saved. We're not hellbound. We're not condemned because of our sin. Now, if you haven't trusted Christ as Savior, you got a reason to be fearful. And you need to trust Christ as Savior today. He'll give you that peace. He'll give you that forgiveness if you just come to him. And at the invitation time, you can come and someone will show you from the Bible how you can trust Christ as your personal Savior. Why should we not fear? Because we've been redeemed. Because he's called us by name. I am thy God. And he has called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. He knows who we are. I just got signed up, Deb and I, not too long ago, to Medicare. Medicare. But anyway, and find out, man, we got a new number. It's not the Social Security number anymore. It's another number. And all we are, the government's a number, right? But to God, we're a name. We're a person. He knows who you are. He knows what we're doing. And he's called us by name to be saved. And if you're not today, he's calling you today to trust him by faith. He's calling you today for service once you've been saved. He wants you to serve him. Maybe as a missionary, maybe as a faithful layman, but there's something you can do in the service of God. God wants you to do it. Why? Because in verse 7 of Isaiah 43, he says, for I have created him for my glory. Thou art mine. Thou art mine. You know, you think about this, Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1, the first point. Why should we fear not? Because God's in control. We're his. 1 Corinthians tells us, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. That's, and we kind of talked about that the first night. But folks, we need to realize that we're in this because God loves us. And we ought not fear God's will in our life. He loves you. And what his will is for you to trust him and walk by faith. And he wants you to, beyond that first step of faith, getting saved, he wants you to take other steps of faith. Fear not God's will in your life or the life of your children or your grandchildren. Don't fear God's will. He loves us. He's a loving Father who cares for us. He knows us by name. Because it says in the next verse, verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And I'll promise you this. You decide to take a step of faith and live by faith, you will walk through the waters. But God's with you. Now what's hard is walking through the waters without the Lord. Maybe some of you here never trusted Christ to save you. You're going through some rough stuff. Do you know? God is willing to save you. He'll give you peace. He'll give you wisdom through that. I'm not saying he'll take care of all of it and everything will be a bed of roses, but he'll be with you like you're all by yourself now. He wants to give you that peace that passes all understanding. You know, when you pass through the high waters, God's with you. I've been through a few high waters. I mentioned some the other night. I thought, well, we'll mention some others tonight, this morning. Challenge you a little bit. But we bought a piece of land in a place called Wada. It's up in the mountains where we first lived. We moved to Peru, and we lived in the mountains. I love the mountains. I use any excuse to go to the mountains. And we bought a piece of land there, put a adobe wall around it to establish that it was ours, and it was all legal and all right. But the neighbors didn't like it. They come and they knocked the wall down. And so I hired the policeman to watch it, and we built the wall again, and they watched it. Well, the neighbors came in the night, and they tore the wall down again. While all of this was happening, right before they tore it down the second time, my son and I went up to check things out, and it was all tore up, and got out of my little Volkswagen at the time, and going over there to check, and the neighbors saw us. There they are. They started picking up stones and throwing us. I said, man, we're going to be like Paul. They're going to stone us here. So we jumped in that thing and took off. I wasn't brave as Paul. I didn't stick around. We escaped. But that second time they came and tore that wall down, one of the cops got nervous, and he shot into the crowd. And he shot one of the neighbors. Now, that's not a good way to start a church. I don't know if you realize that, but that's really not the way to do it. And I said, Lord, we're doing what you asked us to do. We got to do something. I never forget. I went all the way from Juarez down to Lima, about a 7-hour drive. They took him to the emergency room at a major hospital. And I walked in. I didn't open my mouth because of my accent. And I walked in and I found him in the emergency room. And he's laying there on a gurney. And everybody, I was in a suit. And everybody thought I was a doctor, you know. So I didn't say nothing. They just let me go in. I just made myself at home. They won't let you go in hospitals there. Hardly for anything, but I went in and I found him, and he looked up at me and he says, Doc, how am I doing? I said, you're going to be all right. Give him a little faith, you know. Did you know he got all right? He didn't die. Thank goodness. Praise the Lord for that. But you know, there are going to be some times when things happen and you wonder. We're going to Gore with that guy, the FBI guy, and other things. Later on, they put a price on my head, $1,500. My wife looked at me and she said, you know, Max, you're not even worth shooting. And that's about right, isn't it? That's about right. 1,005. And they never collected it. But one time I planned a meeting to go up to Gorgor. And a guy went ahead to kind of get things ready. And then I had a bunch of preachers. There's four or five of us. And we're going in the Jeep up there to do the kind of evangelistic thing. And I went to pick them all up and they all backed out. They wouldn't go. And I'd made my wife a promise because of what was going on that I would never travel by myself, okay, which is a wise thing. And I made that promise to her, so I said, all right, none of the preachers will go with me. I'll go to the Bible college, get the Bible college kids. And I tried to get them to go, and they were looking at me, and they said, no, we don't want to go. And we found out that they'd come into the service looking for me. And they put a gun to the preacher's head. They sang, there's a welcome here, there's a welcome here, when they walked into the back. And then they walked up and put a gun to his head and said, where's the gringo, the missionary? He's not here. Why? God protected me, you see? He protected me. He protects you through the high waters. He protects us through the fire. The missionary I mentioned the other night, Tom Brown, was killed. And that gun that shot him was to my son's head beforehand. He protected my son and my kids. They were all there on the property. Later on, I had an accident, and it was on Christmas Day, and a man died, and it was a fireful time, and they sentenced me to 5 years in prison, and God saw us through that. You see, I had to go in the courthouse to sign for a year. God will see you through those things if you just take those steps of faith. Folks, realize it's not easy. There's some rivers across. Went up to Gorgor that one time and coming back, and it rained the whole time. And the stream turned into a river. And I said, I'm going home. I'm going to see my wife. I've been here long enough. Let's do it. And the preacher said, you going to cross that river? And I go, yeah. And they all got out and they went on a walk bridge on the other side. If you make it, we'll see you on the other side. And I got halfway across, and that Jeep fell in a hole. And I said, oh, Lord, kind of like Peter on the water. You know, oh, Lord, what have I done? Sometimes our steps of faith not real wise, are they? Mine, I didn't pray a whole lot about that when I was just going home. Sometimes faith borders on foolishness. I don't want you to do that. I want you to take a step of faith. Don't be foolish. Trust God. Ask God to lead you because he'll see you through the fire. He'll see you through financial pressures, health pressures, emotional things. We've seen all of those kind of things. And the last point, who? I am the Lord. First you see the why. Then you see when in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. And the last point, who? I am the Lord, Isaiah 43:3. For I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. He's thy God. Is he your God today? He's the Holy One who will judge sin, and he will judge the unredeemed. Have you been covered by the blood of Christ? Do you know if you die, you go to heaven today? He wants to redeem you today. He wants to be your Savior. And that's what he's talking about. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He wants to have a relationship with you, but you've got to take a step of faith. And once you take that step of faith and you get saved, he wants to continue to have a relationship with you. That requires other steps of faith. And that's why faith promise is so important. It'll push you to trust him a little more. You know, I have created thee for my glory. I have formed thee. We've been formed and created for him. And until you begin to live a life of faith, you'll not have peace. You'll not have the relationship the Lord intended for you to have. He wants you to take that step of faith. Don't fear. Won't you trust him? Come talk to him about it here at the altar. Kneel or stand. You can be social distance and seek the Lord's will. And ask him what he'd have you to do. But if you're not saved, if you're not sure you're going to heaven, come. He wants to save you, redeem you today. Take that fear. Turn it over to him. Maybe you have a fear of witnessing to family. Or giving yourself or an offering or even your children. Come, say, Lord, take my fears. Take my fears. Heads bowed, eye closed. As you quietly stand to your feet. Everyone stand to your feet, if you would, for the invitation time. Dear Lord, we come to you now in this invitation time. I turn it over to you, Lord. We ask that the Holy Spirit speak to hearts. Help people to respond even in their seats where they are and the internet where they're listening. Make decisions that they're going to trust you and take steps of faith like they never have before. I pray, dear God, you just have your will and way. Save those that don't know save you as Savior. Help us to conquer our fears. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed.
Amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. No one looking around. We'll sing in just a moment, but this is we call this an invitation. It's a time to where we're invited to respond to what we just heard. The most important thing that you can respond to is the question that was asked at the end, and that is, do you know for sure that Jesus is your Savior? Not just the Savior of the world, but your personal Savior. Each week we ask that question, has there been a time in your life where you've repented of your sin and you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you? It's not about being religious or coming to church, or we mentioned baptism. It's not about being baptized. It's about a step of faith that says, God, I'm a sinner. I've broken your law, but I believe you died and rose again for me, and I trust you as my Savior. The Bible says that whosoever, anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved? If you died today, do you know that you'd go to heaven or would you go to hell? It's the truth. The Bible talks about perishing for all of eternity because of our sin. But Jesus made a way for salvation. You can trust him right where you are. Would you pray a simple prayer? Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me, and I believe you rose again. And today I put my faith and my trust in you. Please save me. If you'll pray from your heart something just like that, he'll save you. You'll become his child. You'll be forgiven. If you have questions about that, please come talk to me or one of the other leaders here. We'd love to, if you're just still not sure, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that Jesus is your Savior. But now, Christian, you've made that decision. You've trusted Christ. How many of you would say God spoke to your heart this weekend about a step of faith you need to take? Would anyone raise? I see hands up. God has spoken to your heart. Right now, as Amy plays and Aaron plays, would you maybe kneel? Let's all just have prayer. Kneel at our seats and let's just seek the Lord and have a prayer time. You can be seated or kneel and let's pray to the Lord and just ask him to speak to us. Lord, we are so thankful for what we've heard this morning and these last two nights. Lord, we pray that you would use us for your glory. Lord, I pray if there's someone here maybe that's never trusted you as their Savior, that today would be the day that they call on your name. Lord, I pray now that as we sing this closing song, that we would be surrendered to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand. We're going to have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Just want to say thank you again to the Harmons for being with us. And we appreciate, again, all that you're doing for the cause of Christ. It has been, I forgot a lot of those stories. When you started to talk about Tom Brown and he was killed and them holding a gun to your, I think he was 6 years old, your son at the time. And then they turned the gun from your six-year-old to Tom Brown and killed him. I did remember that, but some of the other stories you told, I remembered those from years ago. And just thank you for if missionaries like yourselves didn't go, then it wouldn't give us an opportunity to live by faith, to just take a portion of what God's given us and give it back to ministries like yours. And the Lord spoke to my heart through the preaching. He talked a lot about fear. And as he's preaching, all I could think was this: faith will always defeat fear. Faith will always defeat fear. The just shall live by faith, four times in the Bible, once in the Old Testament and three times in the New Testament. But the just shall live by faith. We have to be feeding our faith and growing in faith. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. You have to continue to feed it. Let your faith grow. That's the joy of the Christian life. So again, thank you, church. All of these years we've been able to support missions. Thank you for your faithfulness. But keep feeding your faith. Amen? Amen. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. And have the Harmons dismissed. Brother Frank, would you open these two side doors for us here? Or Ethan's there. He's going to do it. Go ahead and just thank them on the way out, won't you, please, as they will greet you as you're leaving. Just thank them for their 38 years of being on the mission field. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day and each and every day that you give us. Thank you most of all for Jesus and for the precious blood of Calvary, the blood that was shed that we might put our faith and trust in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, have our sins forgiven, have eternal life, and then the joy, Lord, that you give us to just walk by faith each and every day of our lives. Strengthen our faith. Help us when times of fear come to depend upon our faith, the faith that you have instilled in each of us. Help us to feed and grow our faith every day. Watch over us now as we leave this place. Bring us back safely on Wednesday night for our Bible study time. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray these things. Amen.